Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, by the clearness and the brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Yesterday, our family was at a party, a graduation open house, and it was really wonderful, warm hospitality and generosity, as lots of graduation parties or other things can be, lots of different spheres of people's lives coming together in one place. So not everybody knowing each other, but celebrating for the same reason. And I was talking with someone at the party, a man who was recently widowed, and he started to share with me, I mean, we're eating good food, there's lots of celebration around us, but he started to share with me about many setbacks over his life. First, again, the death of his wife, his loss of other friends, the death of his dog. I mean, very practical things of things that were steady within his life that had been lost. And then lamenting, however, even the first last few weeks that he'd learned of other friends becoming ill. And finally, he noted with a sigh about the political violence in Minnesota even yesterday, and just said, I need some good news. I need good news. And that's, again, we can be in celebratory circumstances and still it not really sink in, right? We can be at a party, we can benefit from, you know, the food and the feasting, and still just say, I need some good news. We are hungry for good news as people. And weekly, we come together in worship to receive good news from God's word, to receive good news of God's love for us from his table, and to enjoy the deep and abiding fellowship of communion with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Communion with God and communion with the saints below and the saints above. Those who have finished the race and those with whom we press on with endurance, looking to the upward call of God in Christ. And it's a good thing in a situation where there's so much division and tribalism and sadness, but not really sure if everyone shares the same sadnesses in our life, to be in a congregation in which we're not drawn together by our affinities, like all the things that we, you know, share in a natural sense. We're not gathered together by having a common birthplace or a common income or a common occupation or a common education. We believe in lifelong discipleship from the very youngest to the very oldest among us. Any of the affinities that we do share, the things that we do share in common, are incidental to the name that we share. Each of us baptized into the same name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That all the other things that are, you know, incidental to the rest of this life are really nothing compared to being baptized into the name and into the life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, drawn together in the love of Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, we love each other because he first loved us. And we have the command to love, but then, like, from what resources do we love each other? I don't always feel love or affection. I feel sometimes slighted, or I feel like people weren't paying enough attention to me. But we love each other not because we have this store within ourselves, but drawing from the love that we have received by God in Christ. That Jesus first loved us while we were still sinners. That while each of us were going our own way, he pursued us and brought us back to him. That Jesus loved and forgave and sought out those who betrayed him. He even washed the feet of Judas, whom he knew was already in his heart to betray him. We love each other because he first loved us in a great and miraculous and divine, holy way. And so it says, and goes on to say in 1 John chapter 4, that anyone who claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love your brother or sister whom they have seen, the people right in front of you, you can't then go and say, but I do love God who I haven't seen. That if we have been loved, we love one another, the people right in front of us, the people that we have been united to in Christ Jesus. love God who has shown his love in his son Jesus, and therefore love one another, love the household of faith. Now, individuals like the man that I was talking to, probably many of you within the pews, I know for myself, are looking for real good news. Not just periodic parties and, you know, sugar highs that make us feel better for a moment, but good news that endures and is eternal. Families need this kind of witness, especially on Father's Day, where we might have good relationships with our fathers, or we probably all have complicated relationships with our fathers, to be honest. But fathers and sons need this news, daughters and fathers need this news, husbands and wives, our political parties need to see this witness of true and deep and abiding love, our cities need to see this witness, and we ourselves, in lots of ways I can't imagine, need this good news of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not sentimental appeals to just get along, although as best as you can, do seek to be civil with others. But love that is coming from the life of God within us, that is like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the life of God changing and transforming our lives, the fruit of transformed lives, not just incidental things. Fruit of the life of Christ in us. Today is Trinity Sunday, a time where we remember, you know, God revealed himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there are many different theological explanations, there's different images, there's different sort of sonic illustrations that we can have of how God can be three and one at the same time. And those theological explanations are important to help to correct falsehoods and distortions, things that smooth over the mystery of God conceptually. And it's important for us to have those things straight, that we're not, you know, saying, well, I think it's a little bit like this or this way. We want to be in line with the apostles and all those who have gone before and following as faithful disciples of Christ Jesus. We have unity of spirit by their doctrine, that we would be, in that community of saints, built up into a holy temple acceptable to God. But the Trinity is, again, the revelation, the self-revelation of who God is and how God relates to us. Psalm 29 has some images of that, of how God is a God of creative power, God the Father who speaks things into being. The voice of the Lord, again, is the refrain throughout the psalm. And God is a God of kingly power, the kingly power of Jesus Christ over all the nations. And God is visible and manifest in the Holy Spirit, who displayed and was manifested and abides with us in fire and in wind and in the very basic breath of eternal life. That God is a God of peace and a God of strength. And in Galatians, we see as well that the revelation of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not human creation, something like, as Paul says, not man's gospel. It's not an invention of the apostles. It wasn't the lessons of some esoteric teacher or some exclusive school that the apostle Paul went out and sought out. And it's not a gospel that's just sentimentality, again, like a sugar rush or a let's just all get along. But the gospel that Paul preached was the revelation of Jesus Christ that was transforming his life and that turned him from one who resisted the gospel to one who proclaimed it. The consequences of Paul's his zealotry, his passion for the traditions of his fathers, had a very ugly kind of consequence and fruit. It led to persecution and ultimately to murder of those who followed Jesus. But then, as the Spirit came upon him, the fruit of the Spirit caused his life to be one that gave glory to God in heaven. Only the mystery of this gospel, of the transforming work of God, could explain how he, Paul, a Jew zealous for all the traditions of his people, a persecutor of the Christians, came to preach the faith that he had once sought to destroy. And only the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit to lead Jesus' disciples into all truth could explain how Paul didn't, you know, go to the apostles right away, but went returning, going off to Arabia and then to Damascus, but being tutored by the Holy Spirit to preach God's word. The transfiguration, the total you know, turning inside out and upside down of Paul's life revealed God's power at work in him. And because of God's power at work in him, not Paul's good words or good thoughts, men and women glorified God because of him. In our Discovering Redeemer class, we talk about sort of what it is to be part of the Anglican Church or be part of Church of the Redeemer. And Father Chris talks about two mysteries. First, the mystery of Christ and the mystery of the church. The first, the mystery of Christ, that the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary and Christ was conceived in her. You know, what we celebrate in Advent and Christmas. That the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we have this revelation where we have come to the end of this sort of cycle of the church calendar. Over the course of a year, we've celebrated Advent, remembering his coming, and Christmas, remembering his birth. We celebrated Epiphany of his revelation to the Gentiles, and Lent, his suffering, and then Easter, his resurrection. And then Jesus ascended into heaven, and from heaven reigns at the right hand of the Father, and from heaven sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. So that first mystery, the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary and Christ was conceived in her. But the second mystery, the church, that the Holy Spirit descends upon the church, descends upon us, and by a mystery, Christ is present in us. That the Holy Spirit descends upon the church and upon believers, and Christ is present in us. And between now, this summertime, as we see things growing in our gardens, as we mow the lawn and pick fruit from our gardens, we live in that growth of Christ's presence and fruit and work in us. And we live it not through feasts and fasts, although those things have been good and formative to us over the course of the last year, but through ordinary time, through the kind of callings that each of us have, maybe on summer break or in our day-to-day work, of kids at home and those new dynamics. We live that out through ordinary time that is made extraordinary through communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Communion with God who has given us that new name and through whom we have communion with one another. Every Sunday, coming together, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection and transformation and transfiguration of our lives until we one day see him face to face. So over the course of this summer, we're going to be focusing on those fruit of the Spirit, seeing how it is the character of Christ formed in us through Christ's life in us. It is a green and a growing time as we see outside, but it is a green and growing time within our own lives as we meditate on all that we have learned over the course of the past year and then put it into practice in the power of the Spirit within us. We'll be identifying the fruit of the Spirit in our Sunday scriptures and recognizing and giving glory to God for the fruit of the Spirit that we see in our congregation through individuals, through ministry teams. And we will be, as the people, as we say within our mission statement, sharing in Christ's ministry of reconciliation through worship and testimony and faithful presence, and trusting that God continues to make his appeal to speak through us, saying to the world, be reconciled to God. Those who have been loved, love one another, and proclaim to the world, be in the love of Christ. Each of us will grow in the fruit of the Spirit displayed through those fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Growing in the character of Jesus Christ together as individuals, but above all, in the love we have for one another as a congregation by the growth and the bounty of the fruit of the Spirit within us. I want to say, as your priest, as your pastor, I glorify God because of you. I see your love for one another. I see your faithfulness in prayer. I see you coming to worship on a Sunday afternoon when the sun is finally shining. That is a big thing. I see your patience in seeking a home, and your kindness and generosity of spirit and your generosity in time with one another. And I see your joy in praising God with your voices and receiving his word earnestly and with gladness. and putting out your hand and receiving of the sacrament of his life for you and in you. So when our hearts are heavy and the world around us is heavy and sighing, may the Lord give strength to you, his people. And when there is hatred and when there is violence, may our neighbors see the fruit of the Spirit in you and in our congregation. And when we are anxious and when we are afraid, may the Lord bless us with peace, not peace as the world gives, but peace that abides. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.